this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Dennis D. from the Baltimore area.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis. I'm an addict. I guess you can hear me, huh? Yeah. Well, someone wrote on my card, or Dennis D., and then instead of putting what area it's in, it says anywhere. Because that's me. I can go anywhere, you know. And I was just talking to a friend of mine who's going to be doing one of the histories. And for a minute, I said, man, I'll go in there with him and do the history meeting, you know. Listen to him share a little bit, you know. But I can't, sometimes we can't be at the same place, same time. And I was trying to look at the book, though. I think it's after that. And it's really hard to see anymore. I mean, the older you get, the glasses, you know, and I got to learn to start wearing them and getting used to wearing them. And now it's starting to get warmer, but my eyes start sweating and everything, so I take them off. And I always break them, you know, when somebody hugs you. And that's why I said, oh, look, this thing turned upside down and everything. And I was, you know, and the topic is work the steps or die. And anyway, they have changed a little bit in the old days when I came around here. I just celebrated 25 years. And I'm proud of that. And it's also to let you know that we can recover in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I was telling someone a little history coming up here for different things, you know, different programs and everything. Part of our program at one time was 13 steps, and of course you know what 13 steps are today, you know, and it's bad behavior, okay, and that's one of the reasons why we learn to work the steps to stop some of the bad behaviors. But really, again, we changed because when I came around, I was work the steps or die, motherfucker. You know, you sit there and listen, you have nothing to say. If we want drugs, we'll come to you. If you want recovery, you come to me. Listen, this is the things that was taught to us. Sit in the front row, shut up, stay in the meet for an hour. But things are changing. So they take the word motherfucker out a little bit so we can, you know, just like when I came around before the basic text came out, in our literature says the honest desire, that was a third edition, the only requirement for membership is the honest desire to stop using. Of course, you know, we keep changing literatures and everything. Well, they took the word honest out. Well, even though I know that we can't judge anyone's recovery or anything, and it's just a requirement, but sometimes I would tease people. I like to still joke and have a little humor in me, and I'll say, no, I still believe in the old way. You got to have the honest desire, because I had to be real honest with myself that I had to recover. I had to be real honest that I couldn't use drugs no more. But, of course, we changed and took that out of there, just like we take out the MF word and just say work the steps or die. We used to have the one slogan, you know, all clean and crazy. Used to have the bumper stickers and everything. Some people put them on their car. And today, you know, I learned that it's okay to be clean but not be crazy. Because the excuse is you're still going 100 miles an hour, the cop pulls you over and you say, well, at least I ain't using. You know, that kind of bullshit. Or you steal from someone, oh, at least I'm starting clean, you know. Well, you take the cleanness, you take that out. And so... So the 13-stepping thing is that years ago, actually, we was part of a program trying to make it a 13-step program. After you work all 12 of your steps, the 13th step was God help us. It was God help us. And, of course, because they didn't have the 13th step that they do in the day, it was, again, it was about this cleaning crazy or staying clean, living dirty. And so through recovery and through years, we try not to live dirty no more. You know, we try the stupid thing about the 13th step, or we try to be in wild and think we're still the toughest guy on the corner or stealing or whatever the situation is that we have to change. And when I first started hearing people, you got to work the steps or or die, and I didn't understand that too much. I did come here because of the first step. I really couldn't use no more. I was beaten to the pulp they talk about. I was down to that animal level, but I didn't see how important it was to work the steps that they talked about until after you start really working the steps. You know, you really start, like, digging into the fourth step. You know, it says search and fearless mormontory. You know, I had to dig. When it says search, I had to dig real deep. And I was working the first three steps, and I started realizing I couldn't use no more. And I was taking down the walls and allowing people to get into my life, which is part of the second step. It says, can you believe a power? It will say a higher power. And a lot of people say, well, my higher power is Well, it don't say that. It just says a power. The power could be getting up every 30 days and getting that key tag. The power could be reading the literature. Something that can build up your, you know, your spunk and saying, okay, I want another day of this. You know, because like it says in the basic text, if someone with 2 days clean could help that woman 1 day. And when I finally got 1 day totally not using a drug, I wanted that second day. You know, even if I had to sit on my hands and like they talk about, go through that storm, I wanted that second day. You know, and I wanted that third day. It was nice to get that 30-day key tag, you know, and on and on and on. So when I finally worked on that second step and allowed people to get into my life and work with each other to help each other and start believing in God and my understanding, then that's when the third step comes in. Then I realized at first, you know, when you read the steps, you talk about steps, you hear people talk about it and how important the fourth step is and a sixth step and a step and of course, again, clean and crazy. You don't want to do all that. All you do is just stay clean. But I seen how devastated it was that I had to really finally dig in under the carpet where you used to always say, well, I'll go to my grave without telling people some of my deepest, darkest secrets. Well, I learned to not to tell my deepest, darkest secrets to the whole fellowship. Because the fifth step says admit to God and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, the things that I had to really dig deep, and the pain, and the things that I knew that I didn't want to talk about, but it never says admit it to God and the whole fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you hear people say, well, if you don't tell your deepest, darkest secrets, you're going to go out or whatever, and I believe that, but it don't say that you have to sit there and share some of the things that you've done and become a polarity contest. Well, you know, well, this guy did this. Well, I did a little worse. Oh, what do you think about that? I don't even have to tell you what my drug of choice is. I don't want to tell you everything else because it says in the literature, again, the requirement for membership is to stop using. It talks about we don't care who you are, what you are, how old you are, what drug you took. It's how can we help? We're all welcome here. First three traditions tell you that. We're all welcome here. We're all equal, you know. So when I finally realized it, when I was digging deep into my fourth step, and I started writing this stuff down and knowing that I had to tell it to someone, and the anxiety was coming in, the fear, what's going to happen, and all this kind of stuff. But after I finally really did my fourth step, it may really be motivated me to do the rest of the steps because I didn't want to be that person no more. And that's when I finally really realized what they mean, you gotta work the steps or die, because what they meant by dying, it don't mean just like being a fool, but if I didn't work that fourth step, I allow relapse and go back out there, and the pain would be even greater they talk about. And I never had that experience because since I found Narcotics Anonymous, I've never used. Where some people has used, and I've seen the experiences how it's harder for them to come back, the ones that makes it back. I have friends that never made it back. I've been to funerals. And I have some where they're struggling coming back in here now today. And so that's the things that I have to look for myself. The reason why I realize how important, like I said, is when they talk about it, is that when I did that fourth step, it motivated me to go to my sixth step to start looking at all my behaviors. You know, when I started looking at a lot of my character defects, by that time, I started seeing where I wanted to change them behaviors because I realized that the behaviors was for me to get better. You know, it was for me to change so I wouldn't be that old person no more. And you hear it all the time, and we laugh at it sometimes, like, well, that's him, that's not me. I don't think I need to do this, or I can work my program. But a basic text says that as long as you work in the Narcotics Anonymous program, you will not relapse. It's not a promise or anything. It tells you, you will not relapse. And the only reason why I'm saying it is because I still work the program. You know, I've been in some relationships after my first wife and I split up. And a lot of times you split up and you wait a couple of years. Of course, some people want to jump in something right away again. And one of the things that I learned is that have a little patience, a little tolerance. That was part of my character defects. I didn't have all that stuff. So I learned to work that kind of thing, you know, have a little acceptance and patience and tolerance and everything like that. and then don't jump into something right away and work on yourself again a little more. So I work on myself a little more, and of course you get into a relationship, something don't happen, and things screw up, and again, why me? It's always me, my fault, what I do wrong, and all that kind of stuff. And again, you wait a couple more years to try another relationship. You think you're constantly, you know, doing something wrong, but what's happening in between is I am working on myself more and more and more. So finally, one day, by working all the 12 steps, I realized that I don't need to keep working on myself. This is why I talked to my sponsor and everything. Because I've done as best as I can. I'm not God, so I'm still going to make mistakes. I'm still not going to be perfect. But I have learned as long as I stay in the fellowship and still stay in the middle of the table and not be on the edge, that I'll never drop to where I'm always working on myself, constantly. Because I'm still going to meetings, still using my network, and the 10th step tells me that when I do something wrong, that I don't have to hold a grudge for the rest of my life. And I can promptly wrong when I admit it, rather it's a day or rather it's a week. You know, when I hear that word promptly, in the old days, it could be years. Rather it's a family member or next door neighbor, it don't matter. When I come in here, they say, hey, let go of some of the resentments. You got to let go of certain situations where, you know, it's all, you know, something that you're working on for a long time. So when I'm working on that sixth step and I look at all my character defects and then I start, you know, asking God, again, because I'm not him yet, and it don't say God, it just says I humbly asked him to help me use my shortcomings. And you know what? And the only reason why I'm asking him, because I know I can't do this alone. A lonely axe is in bad company. And I have to learn, after working the second step, as I reach out for more help. So as I'm reaching out for more help, I know he's guiding me. Because that was one of the things, too, when I first came around here, when I had to ask a sponsor. And I remember when someone told me, he says, well, put it in any situation you want to do it, but ask the sponsor to help guide you through the steps. And that's all we do here anyway. We're not your school teacher, your English teacher. We're not your lawyer, doctor, and plumber, and all that kind of stuff. We just work the steps with you and help because they have the experiences. So I felt like a puppet on a string. You know, he's got the stick and he's guiding me. And I'm just like wiggling whenever he wants me to. What do you want me to do now, sponsor? You know, sit down, listen for a while, pay attention. Don't pick up. You know, and then all of a sudden, it was like, that's all they say. Go to meetings, don't pick up, pray. You know, and all of a sudden, it's like, got a home group? You know, what's a home group? You know, are you involved? Involved in what? Oh, you didn't look at the other side, you flip the other side, you get a sponsor, get a home group, don't, you know, man, it's like so many things. But you know, all that stuff kept me clean. So when God helped me remove a lot of my character defects, and then all of a sudden, from my character defects, of course, we all know what happens, that we think we got pain, we're angry and resented all the time. What do you think the people that we harmed on? We hurted them, you know. We put them through misery. We steal from them, we lie from them. We're never going to do it again. That's part of that fourth step. You know, the things that I kept feeling guilty about because I kept promising my mother, if you bail me out of jail, you won't have to do it again. You know, and I'm making money when I'm working, but yet my hand's still in her pocketbook, taking her money just as well. I always wanted more and more and more. So, you know, so I felt guilty about that because she's my mother. I ain't supposed to steal from her, lie from her, and everything like that. But we do it anyway. And then, of course, the drugs only makes it, like, more shame and guilt and everything. So then I had to turn around and start writing all the people that I harmed because my sixth step, my behaviors. So the eighth step tells me, boom. I had to write that list again. See the fourth, sixth, and eighth, another list we have to write. Then we have to work on it. You know, so the ninth step, I work on it. Back to that tenth step again. So again, as long as I stay in NA, stay with my sponsor, stay with my sponsees and my network, my friends, I keep on working on myself. So you're like, well, now I need to work on myself again. I keep working on myself. It stays with me. And, of course, the 11th step is a whole lot different than the 3rd and the 7th because then we have to pray a little more and we have to wait for more patience and tolerance and everything. We've got to start doing more God's will, not my will, you know, and the power to carry that out and all that kind of stuff. And what happens is now, I realize by the time I'm doing that 11th step, is that between the third and the seventh, how much more God's doing more in my life. Like, wow, he's a lot more in my life. Sometimes I'll be kidding around out here, you might not see it because that's what, like, the way I kid around or we joke around, but sincerely, when I leave here, when I'm at home, I pray every night. I thank God for my day. You know, I thank God for my dogs and stuff like that. You know, I don't have no children, nothing like that. And, you know, by working these steps, I don't really realize how my coldness, because if you really know me out there in the street, believe me, I was cold. And I come in here, again, when they talk about some of the things like beyond your wildest dreams or more will be revealed and all that stuff, again, it's just like when they tell you work the steps, you'll get better. Well, how are you going to get better? Well, do it and find out. Well, same thing. It's like, can you tell what's beyond your wildest dreams until you start doing certain things in life? And also, my coldness went to compassion, empathy. You know, I'm not cold no more. I cry like a baby sometimes when certain things happen in my life. You know, I'm a dog lover. I don't have children. So when I lose one of my dogs, like I just lost one of my dogs a couple of months ago, man, I cry. Like, thank God for text today, I say that. Because sometimes I cry so much, I can't talk to you on the phone. You think I'm talking about a human being. I text them saying, hey, man, I just lost my dog. I'm sorry. I've got to, you know, all this kind of stuff is going on in my life. And then I sit back and listen and start thinking to myself, damn, what would I would have done 25 years ago? Like brushed it off, like nothing bother me, you know. Oh, that's just a dog, you know. Well, it's not just a dog. It's part of my family, part of my life, you know. Right now I feel kind of sad and hurt because my sponsor was supposed to do one of the meetings today, and I was going to call him. He was going out and get together. So when I came in here to register and to let him know I was here, because you got to let him know, like, you know, I guess 2:30 or quarter up before the meeting got started. And then I said, well, my sponsor here yet? Did he check in or so we can get together? Someone said he's not showing up. I said, well, you need not. Well, I found out that his wife's grandmother just passed away. So I called him real quick, you know, make sure he's okay. And that's what we do around here. By working the steps or die, see, I don't have to be in that rut no more. I can show compassion. I can call someone up and say, hey, man, I'm sorry to hear what happened. You know, you know, the 12 steps says I haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I didn't realize I'd ever have a spiritual awakening until I got to that 12 step, and I realized what it talks about, how I got better. I admitted I couldn't use no more. I took down the walls. I finally got them understanding. I made amends to people. 10 step tells me that I don't have to wait for years. You know, and then the word says try, real small. And we try to carry the message to the axe still suffers. And that's another reason why the purpose of it, I still want to stay here. To let people know some of the things that I've been through for 25 years of recovery today. I had my sister pass away, my mom, my dad. You know, more things are happening to me in recovery than it does when I was out there in the street. Out there in the street, I was, like I said, I was just cold. And I fought a lot, got locked up a lot, you know, these weekend benders. And, you know, and a lot of things happened in my life. I wake up with blood all over me, like, where did blood come from? And, you know, where my car parked and all that kind of stuff. But nothing really happened to me until I came in here to where my parents died, you know, and getting the divorces and, you know, so many things going on in life. And believe it or not, I realized how I really came in here during God's time, not my time. You know, because he might not know I can do this if my parents passed away when I first came around here. You know, and I see people blessed very well. I have some friends of mine, one girl, she's got 20 years now, 21, and when we all hang out, people come in, they talk about, you know, taking them out, get them coffee and this and that. She only had like 30 days or 60 days clean. Her mother died, you know, and she hung with us. We hung with her. You know, we reach out, you know, we reach out. That's what they mean by working them steps or not to be in that person anymore, to help out. See, if I never worked steps, I would never reach out. I would never help anybody, you know. It's like, big deal, you know. So if I get locked up, so if I do something stupid, so if I, you know, but I never knew anything until I came in here. All my coping skills, my Everything I learned in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when they say that when you come around here, no matter how old you are, you know, well, I was 31, but they said you're still like that little kid in you, you know, and I realized, you know, I was still like 12 or 13 running around. I didn't really grow up. For 18 years, I really didn't grow up. So they say when you come, you got to walk all, crawl all over, to walk all over, to run all over. I understand that. When I came here, I was crawling. I was like a little baby just crawling around learning things. You know, stealing things from everybody else, but he say certain things and trying it and trying it. You know, now I know how to read better since I came around here. Again, I know how to be compassionate, empathy, all that kind of stuff. And man, it's not just beyond your wildest dreams. Sometimes I get pissed off because I didn't want to be that person. You know, I was watching History Channel the other day talking about them gangbangers. That's the things I wanted to do. You know, I hung around with bikers, you know what I mean? I was always these tough guys, you know what I mean, like that. And that's what I wanted to be in the old days. I mean, I grew up a little early, so you talk about the mafia. That's me. That's what I wanted to be. You know? Boy, does NA really screw your high up. You know? And it also screws up what you really wanted to be. You know? I don't gamble no more. I brought up where I brought up in my neighborhood. That's all you do. You gamble. Rather the racetrack, playing poker for 4 or 5 days straight, playing the numbers. You know, that all attracted me. That's why I hung around with some bikers and everything, because that attracted me. When people getting together and you're fighting, you're lying, you're dope dealing, all that kind of stuff, that all attracted me. But when I came in here after a while, that attracted me more because I really wanted to quit and didn't know how. Many times I woke up and hung for the turnkey, what am I locked up for? Like I said, many times I had blood and everything, and I don't know how I got there. Many times I would wake up, and I don't know how I got home. I'm half naked or whatever. And I was like, man, how the hell did I get home? Or whatever. And I was my wife be over in the corner. She's shaking. I'll say, what are you shaking for? She says, you don't remember? Nah, what'd I do? You see? Or cops come banging on my door 3, 4 o'clock in the morning where I just left the bar and slapped somebody with a warrant. You know, that's what I wanted to be. So you don't have to be like that no more. You know, when I finally got recovered and I really wanted to quit, again, I came here in God's time, not my time. And God says, okay, now, here's the opportunity to stop using drugs. Take direction. I took direction because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of being at an animal level, you know. That's why I realized what they say, work the steps or die, because I don't want to be that person no more. How much time do we have?
Good. We've got about 5 minutes.
And thank God for the steps, really, you know. And the program's laid out. You know, you come here and you're new, you really want to try a new way of life, just find somebody who's actually worked the steps and follow his path. And that's what the basic text says. You know, you want what we have to offer, you're willing to go to any lengths. If you want what I have, do what I do. Do what I do. That's right. You take certain steps. And sometimes, you know, when I was out there using, like I said, I wanted to be that tough guy sometimes. And I wanted to be this and that. And sometimes I get angry when people, like, I mean, not to be ignorant of, but when we're reading our literature, when they say, oh, alcohol's a drug, and it's right behind that. It's like, are you making fun of our literature? You know, sometimes when I hear these certain things, I feel like you're, you know, that ain't the way it's read. You know, maybe because I'm not about certain things I can't change. You know, we're sick, and then put someone else behind them holler, we're sick. Well, read the book. It don't say that. It says it once. You know, maybe I'm protecting Narcotics now because I love it. It got me where I'm at today. When I was out there using, believe me, I was like my wife or something. I'd come home and see if she got rid of my dope or something. You know, I protected that. You know, one forever and never for one. You know, I'm not going to mention any bikers or nothing, but you understand what I'm saying? You know, one for all and all for one, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So when I come in here, I started doing the same thing. It's like, wait a minute, that ain't what it says. You know, we read the literature the way it should be read. Again, the sixth step says, I'm asking God to help me remove my character defects. I'm asking God to help the seventh, the humbly, for him to help me out. But I don't get rid of everything. I don't get rid of everything. So sometimes them character defects come back. And a lot of times it's been in the rooms of the fellowship. And like I'm saying about this 13-step type of thing. when I see a young guy, it could be a girl, got 20 years, and she's trying to do the same thing as the opposite. And where's this, what, the men sticking with the men and women sticking with women? You know, or someone coming here and they keep saying certain things and you ask them, you know, for like, come on, I'll take you out and get something to eat. Oh, man, don't worry about it. I just stole something. Where's the change? And then you want to get in my car? With the record I got? Your Honor, I got 20-some years, and I ain't done anything in a long time, and at least I didn't stay, at least I didn't use today. You know, and no, I ain't like that. But that's why we reach out to the person who hasn't changed the behaviors yet. You know, we become that parent example. Who you hang with is what you are. You are who you hang with. When you're getting better and you become a better father, a better son, a better brother, you know, you stop stealing, you're a better employee, you work and everything. And that's what the guy wants. That's what I wanted. I wanted to finally find me a job that I can show up every day without being fired and be responsible and have that integrity. And you know what? Through this recovery, I had a job when I had almost 5 years clean. I've been there 20 years now. You know, now I understand what my father says, that we have to sometimes try to find a place to retire for. You know, for a long time, he's always telling me, you know, you need to take that spoon out of your pocket. Of course, everybody knows that old story with me. You know, it's like, damn, did you know I got a spoon in my pocket? You know, but that ain't what it was. He was telling me I was digging a hole so deep, never knew how to get out of it. But I was digging it slow with a spoon. You know, but today, guess what? I'm not digging that hole no more. It's getting full. It's filling up to the top. That's why they say it's the journey, not the destination. You know, that's why they say is that hole still got a hole in it. I don't think it'll be ever totally full until I die. But I would like to die a winner. You know, and I would like to be the parent example to the guys who's coming around when they talk about lying, stealing anything, and tell them they can change. You know, when they always talk about, well, my wife's always mad at me because I'm always coming home late. Well, go home early for a change. Show her some responsibilities. You know, I try to hang around people that's changed. You know, of course, we all make mistakes. We all do a little bit of things. And most of the time, we joke more than anything. You know, but it's the real kind of joke, and it's not the kind of where, you know, I'm going to slip something in you or pull your chair or make you break your neck or laugh at that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's just laughter. Just have fun. You know, and that's what we do. We come here to have fun, but we also get clean up our act. You know? And you know the reason why? Because you had the program laid out for me. You had the meetings. We have some literature. And I had a thing called the steps. And that's why I got better, by working these steps. And I continue to work the steps. I continue to help people when they come around here and continue to keep getting help. I keep continuing to realize that I'm learning something on a daily basis. It's not just that the lie is dead, it's also I do believe you can teach an old dog new tricks. And since I raise a lot of dogs, and most of them are Rottweilers, and once they're just like us, they get stubborn, but they're one of the smartest dogs that I've really raised. And they love attention, and I love attention. But I don't care how old they are, if I decided I want to retrain them for something else, they learn that. You know why? Because they love what they do. And so sometimes when I look at them dogs, when I come to NA, I start thinking, I love what I do. And so I'm learning to be open to listen to people. So I still learn things every day. I don't graduate Narcotics Anonymous. But as long as I work the steps, I know my life will get better. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Dennis. For our next speaker, we will have Michael W. from Delaware.
Addict for Life, my name is Mike.
Mike.
First, I'd just like to thank God for doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, and that's changed me at my own permission. I'd like to thank the region for giving me an opportunity. Actually, I want to thank the region for giving me a chance. To allow the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous and the God that I serve and the God that you serve, just reach over to somebody and give them a hug and welcome to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. How about hug somebody you don't know? Yeah, and that's the power of attraction. That's the power of people getting up and kind of like getting outside themselves and, you know, us giving, you know, us a hug. Welcome to the newcomer, and also welcome to the old time and our predecessor. Again, my name is Mike, and I'm an addict for life. And the topic.
Wow.
Work the steps or die. I want to thank Dennis for setting the tone. So I don't have to go through the formalities or the steps. I can just jump right into it. Work the steps or die, motherfucker. And that's something that I heard when I came in. And you would get that response when you hear people kind of like still saying the same old thing, stuck in that same old, you know what I mean, behavior. And an old timer say, well, work the steps or die, motherfucker. And you was like me, you was saying, man, what are you talking about? You know, you don't know. But y'all used to say, man, when your turn come and you want to do something different and the pain to get great enough, you'll work the steps, motherfucker, or die. Man, it's a good day to be clean, you know. I'm really excited to be here, you know. Kind of like when I come back to Ocean City, get rejuvenated, you know what I mean, through the whole year. You know, you go to a lot of meetings, you know, but it's just something when you come here and get this atmosphere, you know. My home group, you know, is in the Potomac area, you know. They say I'm from Delaware. I moved to Delaware about 9 months ago. But actually, I'm from the Potomac area of Maryland. I was raised in Washington, D.C. My home group is the Keep Coming Back group. I think they make it a Tuesday night at 7:30. I'm also in a have a sponsor. We do steps. Actually, we do a workshop, a sponsees and sponsors every month. You know what I mean? So that definitely has helped me. And a lot of guys, you know what I mean, that's in our program, you know. And I really just kind of need to share where I'm at today, you know. And where I'm at today, you know, I feel real humble, but I'm also real nervous. So this allowed me to kind of like let the Spirit speak through me, right? So it won't be me y'all hear, it be the truth. And allow me to kind of like, see, only way I can kind of like, you know what I mean, speak, y'all, I had to get honest, right? But for order me to get honest, first I got to kind of like reveal that who I am, right? And I'm the guy who at the end, you know, was living in a garage, sleeping in an abandoned car. I'm the guy who took shower water hose who ate out of trash cans. I'm the guy who came into Narcotics Anonymous and didn't want to get honest with y'all because I had a hard time accepting the fact that I had the HIV virus. I'm the guy, you know what I mean, who went out with women in this program, had sex with women in this program, didn't tell these women in this program I had the virus, but did it anyway because of my lack of acceptance. I'm that same guy who once got clean, you know what I mean, thought that he had a couple things going on, but yet didn't want to do no steps because he was looking good, smelling good, and feeling good. The topic is work the steps or die. I ain't understand, man. Only thing I knew was that, man, I was having a good time when I came here. They used to have parties every Saturday, you know what I mean? And I just was just going along with the motion, man. You know what I mean? I wasn't smoking no more crack no more. I wasn't living in the garage no more. And, you know, life hasn't showed up yet. And I kept hearing y'all telling me, man, just keep coming back, you know what I mean? More will be revealed. Everybody going to get a turn. And life is going to show up. But I didn't know, man, by me, you know, to keep coming back and going to the meetings, man, what was happening was that I was building a foundation of these steps. I ain't know, man, that when my time did come and I got humiliated in this program, man, the only thing that I could hold on to was y'all. Right? I didn't know, man, when my daughter passed, you know what I mean, and I got so angry with y'all, and y'all accept me when I came into the meetings, and I spit up on y'all, and I told you how much I hated God, man. Only thing I had to hold on to was y'all. Right? So it came to a point, man, in my process, you know what I mean, that only thing that I finally realized, man, that damn, Mike, you know what I mean, you need somebody, and y'all was telling me, man, this is a program of never being alone. That shit ain't happened, man, all at once for me. It came, man, through a part, man, I was in so much pain that I realized, man, that you know what? Maybe this program is for you. Maybe that you don't have to do things alone. You know what I mean? So I kind of like, you know, got into a process of kind of like welcoming y'all into my life, even though, man, I still felt an outsider. You know what I mean? I still felt alone inside of this program, even though y'all told me I wasn't. But I took a chance. I was willing. You know what I mean? Because I ain't want to go back to the garage. You know what I mean? I ain't want to go back to taking showers with water hoses or eating out of trash cans. You know, I ain't want to go back to that, man. So I took a chance, man, even though, man, I didn't want to. I'm talking about being proud of this, man, of going back to something, man, even though I know what the results was going to be. Just like when I smoke crack. I don't know about nobody else, man. At the end, I smoke crack, man, even though I ain't want to. I smoked crack, man, when I was in so much pain, and I knew people couldn't accept me, man, and I knew what the result was going to be. I smoked it anyway. I knew I was going to be a bum. I knew how my children was going to look at me. But I did it anyway. Because I couldn't accept the simple fact, man, how I thought people was going to look at me, how people was going to look at how I got this virus, and why they was going to ask, how'd you get the virus, Mike? Well, they're going to believe what I told them, man, how I got it. Or were they going to kind of like try to sit back and measure me by my manhood? And see, all that shit, man, kind of like brought me into Narcotics Anonymous with a whole lot of anger, man, you know, because I thought people was always trying to decide, man, how I got this virus. And I don't want to turn this into an HIV me, but what I got to talk about, man, is how I got free. And God, I got to talk about, man, how if I didn't work this step, I was dying, man. Not just dying a natural life. I'm talking about a dying of the spirit. Because what the step does, man, you know, the steps is the solution. So for me to get to the solution, I had to get honest, man. You know what I mean? So to get honest, man, it took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage. And I thought that I had a lot of courage. I thought I had a lot of courage, man, because the things I used to do before I came to the program, you know what I mean, showed me that when I came in, I ain't had no courage because I couldn't tell y'all, man, the truth. My lack of allowing people, my lack of acceptance, my lack of loving people to love me was a process. I wasn't allowing no one to love me. I ain't want to love nobody because I was missing one of the most important things, right? I never knew how to love myself. I never let myself off the hook, you know, when I first came to this program, you know, and I find out through my experience that, man, you know, you have to work the steps the way you work them. There's no particular way to work no step. You work them, man, to the best of your ability. You know what I mean? And you get it, and you get it. You find a suit to fish you. You know, and it took me a while, man, you know what I mean? And I did a cycle steps. But I still, man, was in that struggle, man, of acceptance, man, and accepting y'all. Even though I had that small, you know what I mean, a thing of hope, man, that y'all had me, man, but I still haven't put complete in, you know what I mean, to allowing y'all, man, in my life. You know what I mean? I knew I wasn't going nowhere, but I still was wrestling with, man, you know what I mean, that second step shit. You know? And what had happened was, man, it was a guy in this program shared with me his experience with the virus and how he talked to some women, came clean with them. They accepted them. They came back negative. And his life has been good. And when he shared that with me, I was afraid to apply what he suggested, but I did it anyway. And I don't know why I did it, but I did it. And I'm talking about I probably had at least 10 women I had to confront with the issue. I took a chance. told these women. I walked all these women through the process. To this day, none of these women are positive. See, my second step was my second step. It was a step that I had to experience for me. You know, it was the hope, you know what I mean, that me taking a chance and coming clean with somebody, even though, you know, I was afraid, right? Because I thought I had courage, right? But it takes a lot of courage to get honest. I found out for me to get some freedom, you know what I mean, I got to get completely butt naked honest. Because I can, you know what I mean, I can come up with some shit to sound good, or I can rationalize some shit to sound good. Even though it might be the truth, but it might not be the whole truth, but it might be part of the truth, and it sounds real good. So in order for me, I had to kind of like get completely honest and come in here and tell about me. And if it helps somebody, you know, along the way, it helps somebody. But the bottom line is that it was about me getting free. It was about me, man, gaining some courage and some confidence in me, man, you know what I mean, because I still struggle with acceptance. It's a lot better today, right? But it's still at points, man, that my acceptance, man, let me share this. I've been married going on almost two years. And my wife, a lot of times, I do things just for fear that she will accept. Even though she have welcomed me in and accepted the fact that I got this virus, but I still find myself a lot of times doing things so she accept. Because in my mind, I had the fear that maybe one day she might say, I don't want you no more. She's already told me, man, that I work too much, I got too much going on, you know what I mean? So the fear is that now I'm just ready to quit everything so I can just sit right there beside her because of the fear of her leaving me. One more time, man, you know, me trying to work on some acceptance, man, because for real, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone, and a lot of times, you know, I have developed that relationship with my God, but I still struggle. I still struggle. I'm the only boy in my family. I have five sisters. I've always been isolated. You know, I came in here isolated, you know, so that's kind of like one of those defects, man, that I've always struggled with. I've always struggled with trying to have people to like me. I've always struggled, man, to try to do better than everybody else. I've always done that. But it's about today getting free. It's about bringing things to the light, man, you know, and I don't know if it's even helping anybody, but I know who it is helping. Because I need to talk about that. Today is a good day. You talking about, man, work the steps or die. I'm trying to get free. I'm talking about if I don't continue to apply these steps to my life to the best of my ability, I will never get to the point of freedom. I believe the program talks about, man, how our primary purpose is, you know what I mean, from freedom from active addiction. I'm trying to work some freedom for me. I mean, I don't know if nobody can relate to that, but I had to kind of like let myself off the hook for me to understand that the freedom had to start with me. I mean, I ain't smoked crack in a long time, but I still struggle with freedom for me. And that's a process. That is a process. So I surrender. You know what I mean? I try to apply this first and second step of my life. You know, I dove into my fourth step. You know what I mean? I didn't have a fear of what I put on paper. I didn't have a fear what another man might have looked at what I talked about, right? My deepest fear, man, when I stopped doing step work is the result. It's the result. That's always have been a fear, right? And because through my whole life, you know what I mean, the outcome, I always wanted to know what the outcome was, right? So people who know me, right? I'm always trying to manage stuff that I can kind of like project the outcome of. But we know that all we can do is kind of like plan and never plan the outcome, but I still try to plan it, the outcome, because of my fear of it. Thank God for being God. Thank God for being a God all by himself, because he knows my feet. And he knows, man, just think if I could control the outcome. Oh, that much. I probably have been dodging a funeral a long time ago, you know. But the program has truly worked, you know, and Narcotics Anonymous has made a place just for me. And today, you know, there's nothing I won't do for this program. You know, even though a lot of times, you know, I buck on it and I have, you know, my opinion, which don't mean nothing, you know, and you know, things have changed, you know, but you know, man, the primary purpose is remain the same. You know, we come in here with a lot of pain. Oh, I came in here with a lot of pain. You know what I mean? And my primary goal is to get free and continue to work these steps, you know what I mean, to the best of my ability, right? So I'm gonna end this with I believe it's not the meetings that you go to. I just believe it's the steps that you take. Thanks for letting me share.